You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We have a beautiful roundtable in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris, Leisha, Shelby, Tash, E. Green, Nicole, and Troy. Yeah, there's some new names in the house tonight. And first, I want to say before we jump into the topic, we are not dead, people. Sorry, we've been away for about a month. People have been working, living, selling houses, buying houses, relocating, moving, all kind of stuff jumping off.
Graduations,
proms. Yeah, Chris and I have two nieces now going to college. Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
And so things are moving along. Life is happening, but we are still here and there's so much to talk about. So we anticipate having a really rich podcast session tonight. So tonight's topic is the Orlando Massacre. And this just happened. And so there's layers to this conversation, folks. I really don't even know where to start to take it. I do want to say how horrific of a tragedy it is. And I'm still mind blown that we're having these experiences to the point where, for me, it's a little numbing. Like, it's not having the grand impact it should, because this is happening so very frequently in this country, just, you know, at random, many lives taken in one night. And I don't know, Chris and I had a conversation today, or was that last night, the whole idea of how fear paralyzes us, because you think to yourself, how can one person kill 50 people and harm another 50 people? Just one person, and there's so many numbers. And of course, well, I don't know if it was just where my mind took it or the margaritas we had last night. I said, that makes me think so much about slavery. I always wonder how we as people were ever able to be enslaved when there were so many of us. You know, why not the fight back? But it's the fear. Fear is paralyzing. Fear is powerful. And it's sad. It's so sad. The think pieces that have come out about this run the gamut of being absolutely absurd and ridiculous and judgmental in regard to the fact that this was a quote unquote gay club, even though everybody that was killed in this massacre was not gay, and it wouldn't matter one way or another if they all were, if they all weren't. It blows my mind that in this time period, in this day and age, we're still dealing with this level of judgment against other people and their choices and people's persecution and lack of compassion for other people's lives. I just think that's crazy. So anyway, I'm gonna step back. I don't want to ramble. Family, jump in. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings about all layers of this issue?
I've been dying to have this conversation and I'd like to veer it in a certain direction.
Go for it.
My time feed became full of conspiracy theories. Mm. I really had to pause and like unpack what I was experiencing, seeing black people expound upon conspiracy theories. I mean, even now I'm kind of emotional about it,
okay,
about this Orlando thing. And I knew that miscategorizing it as the, you know, the massive or the biggest massacre in U.S. history was probably the impetus for it. But then it grew a lot bigger. And I was like, you know, black folks we understood that the Charleston thing wasn't a conspiracy.
Right.
It was a crazy and so there were so many layers of, and I still don't have all the answers, but I have a lot of questions and I like to throw them out to the group to see what sticks. The conspiracy theories are they more in this scenario because we're conflicted between it being someone who identifies as a Muslim who did it during Ramadan, but it's also against a gay community. The target was a gay community, and I don't want to assume that black folks are homophobic, but maybe there's a sector of our community that still harbors some homophobia. Very and so, much so the amount of sympathy and understanding for one's humanity, they can't compute, so they have to come up with a far-fetched conspiracy to explain it instead of just having a sheer outpouring of like, this is some fuck shit,
right,
and we have to stop it with the guns or whatever,
right,
angle they want to take.
Right.
And then the second thing is when old girl, who apparently is a Fox News intern, came out, and I don't know if you heard one of the victims, she was in a stall and she had a press conference, and she said that Omar Martin or whatever his name is, that he said, he was like, are there any black people in here? And one person raised their hand, or one person spoke up and was like, yeah. And she said there was about six of them. He was like, hey, this isn't about you. I don't have any problems with black people. Y'all been through enough already. This is about my country. Mm-hmm. And my question was, did anybody have a bit of sympathy or understanding for Omar that they didn't have before when they heard him say, oh, black people, this isn't about you? And then my further question is, does having understanding for someone cause make you a sympathizer? Like, is this how Israelis constitute people as being Palestinian or terrorist sympathizers? Because you have an understanding of the cause someone's fighting for? Like, and so I just have all those questions.
I'll piggyback that thought, though, as far as the sympathizer part, as far as I'm saying that black people have been through so much, because the same thing happened with Black Lives Matter when it first started off. In Ferguson, the Palestinians showed them how to fight the tear gas. So they sent the message over. I'm not sure they got it out because they don't have, you know, internet. Or they probably passed it through a pipe and said, yo, pass this off to your people. Let them know how to fight this. Because we don't have gas masks. They're like, yo, put this paper, I mean, this rag in your face and do it this way. And the sympathizer part is to see is that they understand. People around the world understand each other if they take the time to understand each other.
Right. I agree with that.
Take the blinders off. Like, yo, they need help.
But then, speaking about understanding, why is it some of my most educated friends are propagating these conspiracy theories on social media?
What theory? What theory? Can you name something?
Yes.
Because listen, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So, no, listen. I haven't commented on it at all. I'm not putting it on my timeline whatsoever because I've been watching the timelines, different news outlets that have presented different arguments, and some have been completely wrong. And these are people that we're supposed to trust.
Right. Well, no, I have no problem with people distrusting the news. I think a healthy amount of skepticism about mass media is important. But when people are like, oh, there's no way that he could carry what they thought was an AR-15 into the, you can't conceal a gun like that. And then, you know, folks are like, actually, you can. Here's a video of a guy shoving it down his pants. You can conceal that. Or about the black girl who was at the press conference, her having been a Fox News intern. And so she's an actor. And so this didn't really happen to her. So there were a couple of things. It's like, one, just because you put a picture of her that looks like a headshot and put Fox News intern underneath it doesn't mean you verify that she was a Fox News intern. And even if she was a Fox News intern, why can't she be the case and still come out and be like, yo, this is what happened to me? And then there was another picture. It's the memes, actually. You're right.
When you say Fox News, though, Fox News does not present black people in a positive light. So that right there voids it out.
But I think black people,
I'm just saying, as far as put them in a positive light, though.
That's true.
But what does that have to do with it?
You know what I'm saying? That when he said that, the fact that people said that, in fact, she works for Fox News, you can't believe it.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, even if she did,
shooting,
no. I'm just saying, I couldn't believe it.
Her being a victim within the shooting.
Just because there was no source to the allegation that she worked for Fox News. Right. It was just a meme saying, you know, here's another actor who's pretending like they were caught up in the thing. Right. And there's been something about the doors being locked and no way that they couldn't get out.
I've heard that one too.
There's been another one.
Phone call that was cut off of somebody who called a news station and they were saying there was somebody who was blocking exits, keeping them from getting out. But as they were saying that, they lost the connection to the news station. It was like an abrupt cut. Right. So that was another like.
But we didn't have these conspiracy theories during Newtown. We didn't have them. I have a black social media feed. I don't see what white people are talking about. It really is geared toward me. I got to be honest. And doing all the other things, none of my people, none of even my like Hotep friends, none of them were talking about conspiracies for the other mass shootings.
So why this one?
So I was like, why is it this one? Is it because of how they initially labeled it? And that, but
I think that has something to do with it. Because can we segue into that? The fact that this was immediately blown up as the largest mass shooting in all American history, the biggest blatantless lie. I don't even know blatantness is a word, but it's just seriously. I think everybody kind of was like, like, are you guys serious? Are you seriously promoting this? Are we living? Sorry, Tash got hype, but it's like, how?
We have to edit this out,
please. But my question is, like, how did the media think they were going to get away with that? Why was there not one responsible news outlet that was like, we should not roll with this as the headline? Like,
is there such a thing? Is it responsible media?
I guess not.
Democracy now.
It's all about entertainment. It's all about entertainment and ratings.
Yeah, it's just layered because of who it is, where it is, because it was the person who was the shooter, claimed is Muslim, you know, which in this, in America, that's one of them, it's one of them words. Like, oh, you're Muslim? Oh, okay. Well, you probably did it. Mm-hmm. The club was a queer club. So I wasn't surprised because I was like, how long before some conservative ass, somebody in the Christian community is going to be like, well.
Oh, they've said that already.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is right.
They threw that. And, you know, the fact they said that this was a lot of people that were in there were Puerto Rican. That it was somewhat of a Puerto Rican event.
Latin Black Night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. It's real layered, and you just want to be like, yeah, it was just, this is crazy, and this is fucked up, and we should feel bad for everybody who shot. But, of course, it's, and because it's political season, this is like, oh, here we go. And, of course, who we have, the Republican, decided to just go full on in. And, like, see, that's why we need to cut everything off. I'm like, oh, damn, it's just, it's crazy. American. Yeah, even though he is American, which, and from the city where he's from.
Yeah, I mean, okay. His real issue is his daddy don't accept him. That's his right. Daddy don't think he's right. And so he went and shot some people up.
Yeah, the fight.
I don't really participate in social media the same way. So I didn't even know this conspiracy theory existed.
I didn't either.
Thank goodness, because I would have been angry. But I think that if anything, I'm not saying the conspiracy theory is true or not, but the fact that the conversation is going there and not where I think it should be, which is self-hate leads to violence. True. Like, that's real. Like, that's the real conversation. The real conversation is self-hate leads to violence. And we have a lot of that. And we have so many forces in our society that push us to hate ourselves as black, as women, as anything, pick a thing, and it keeps us down here instead of allowing us to think out, you know, and it keeps us from working towards solutions and empowering ourselves. And if anything, that's the real conspiracy, in my opinion. Now, I haven't read all of them. I don't know what's all going on, but
if I might speak about the violence part of it, mm-hmm. You know, when we grew up, some of us that are a little older, we played video games. It was like a little blip hitting another little blip, right? Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you have realistic looking murders going on in video games. Like, it ain't nothing, right? And the internet is available to everyone, right?
Yeah.
And what do we watch? We watch fights. We watch people getting killed. We watch people getting run over. We watch all this craziness, right? So, I mean, it's not surprising that people do these kind of things. Yeah. It's not surprising at all because it's so realistic. Online, you know, there is no, you know, I've seen people leave this place, but not in a horrible, horrific, violent way, but just, you know, regular, if you want to call it regular. But when you see these things on TV, these games, when people get shot, it is not like you see on TV. It's very nasty and ugly. But people don't think about that because you don't think about that, but you're not seeing that. You're not playing the game and seeing that. You're seeing some blood and stuff, but in real life, it's crazy. So it's too late. Once it happens, it's too late. So I don't know if it's a conspiracy to keep us down or conspiracy for the news or whatever, but in real life, every day, every American life, whatever color you are, you got kids playing these games, you got kids watching the internet, you got grown folks doing this, so we're just a country of violence.
Yeah, it's maybe what you just said made me think of two things. One, the fact that just this past week there were two murders on Facebook Live. You know how Facebook has the new live stream? Yes, there were two.
It's the second time in less than a month in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that kills me is they play it. Yeah. And I can't even stand to watch. Yeah,
it's on my feed.
Yeah,
it's on my feed, but I have not watched it.
Yeah, I can't stand to watch it because one guy is just talking and somebody comes up to him and kills him.
Wow.
And then another one, somebody set it up and then killed a man and then tortured his wife in front of his children. Crazy stuff.
Wait, you can watch this on Facebook?
No,
yeah. Let me tell you how I feel about Zuckerberg.
They
haven't
taken
me. Like, I don't fuck with him.
That's crazy. They say that he is the CIA. They say he works for the CIA.
It's a social media experiment. That's what I mean, like, all that stuff is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the conspiracy theories.
But why leave it up? What's the CIA's interest in leaving that shit up?
Well, there's billions of people on Facebook, so if you take it down from this group, somebody else names it something else, boom, it's right back. You cannot possibly just erase it. You can't do it. Do you want to say something?
It's there. It's there.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the point of self-hatred because it just made me think, you know, we always categorize it, hate crimes, as if they are directed towards another group of people, but it really does rest in your own feelings about yourself and what comes from what you got growing up or whatever kind of distortions. And it made me think about, I just did The Bluest Eye in Charlotte. I don't know if you're familiar with the story. And so we were having a talk back and everybody's talking about the image of beauty, and all this is coming from the oppression of, you know, European people, right? In terms of the idea of beauty and the different concepts that relate to our identity. And so there was an Asian man in the audience, and he said, you know, I can't really speak to the concept or the issues facing African-American women as far as their identity, as far as their feelings of self-worth. But he said, as an Asian man, I have seen my female family members bleaching their skin, the women, and my father being ashamed of his slanted eyes and wanting his eyes to look more European. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think about how we're all vulnerable as far as the system is concerned. And so everything as far as the media outlets, it's all being distorted and we're being manipulated, so to speak, from the perpetrator and his ideas, excuse me, of hatred and self-loathing, and then how the media distorts it, and the games that are played in terms of the information that we receive. It's all a game, and we have to be a lot wiser, I think, in terms of our interpretations and knowing what to feed, you know, what to receive and what not to.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm.
But okay.
But what I said was,
Bill Davin comes.
So I'm all in favor of someone disabusing me of misinformation that I've gotten because I feel as if I'm being fed, like it's a good sermon. And so when people come with conspiracy theories, I look. And when I see, oh, well, this person apparently died, it's a picture of a white woman who apparently died at Newtown, and then she had died again.
I've seen it.
And I'm like, I just need a sign. What you're doing is, like, if you're doing what Democracy Now! And Amy Goodman have done, you're doing high work. You're doing the work that the masses need to hear. So I feel as if, and if you're going to be an echo chamber for that on Facebook, there has to be a certain level of
Research. Yeah, data doesn't force what you're saying. You have the data. You have the data. Like, there's certain things you see, and you like, you need the data, though.
Like, you have a friend who when he talks, he does his research, and he can state the facts.
Kedar Griffo.
Yeah, I'm about to say, let me know his name, because I appreciate the good information. And I wonder, I guess I'm kind of psychoanalyzing, but I wonder if the amount of conspiracy theories in this instance have to do with it being a gay nightclub and we not being completely resolved with accepting gay people as gay people and leaving it. It's just easy. It's like a computer can't compute. And so we need to come up with something to make it easier for us to digest this scenario. And I'm not saying that's the case.
What's funny about it is that the original report, as far as the police, Orlando police, that morning was, we were leaning towards it being a terrorist. They were already saying it was terrorist. Right. As of this morning, I saw NPR posted a thing on their thread, which was saying that now we are believing that it was not a terrorist. It was nothing even close to being, you know, on that level.
Right.
But I'm saying, but that misinformation starts on day one.
No,
and it keeps getting fed into us.
We know why he was thought to be a terrorist.
Because he was Muslim.
Because he was Muslim. And on the phone with the thing, he said, I'm pledging my allegiance to ISIS. And the victims, who the ones who survived, heard him say that. But they didn't know that this motherfucker was so ignorant, he didn't know the difference between a Sunni and a Shia Muslim. Like, they didn't know that
he was just pledging. He wasn't even religious.
His
family wasn't even religious. So, like, literally.
He was a secular Muslim, but he was just, like, claiming it because he thought, oh, that's the hot shit.
Right.
And what we've been doing is by calling him a terrorist, we've been giving ISIS free publicity for some shit. That
they had nothing,
that
to,
had
do
nothing
with.
To do,
exactly.
And we've been making their mystique even bigger as this boogeyman that we have to be.
I do want to say that I think that you touched on a good point, which is that because of the internet and the way that information is dispersed so quickly, that we've seen a lot of errors in the news, more so than back in the day when they actually had to, like, we had to wait for the news to come and they actually, like, wouldn't put someone on the air. There wasn't 24-hour news like we have now. So I do think that contributes to, like, a lot of misinformation getting out, which is just pure, like, fodder for people to think that there's something more to that versus it just being incompetent news people that are releasing information because they're trying to get, like, the first... They're trying to be first with the story, you know? And so I think, unfortunately, there's people whose brains immediately jump to these places instead of, like, what's so obvious is that 49 people were killed. Like, that's what's the obvious. It's like,
no matter what they are,
like, actors acting that out is so far-fetched and unbelievable, but for some people that's an easier thing to believe than 49 people got killed. I mean, that's like, like, I can't understand that, but I do think that the news contributes with their mistakes.
But also, folks of color have a history with conspiracy, like with a gun being planted on
someone. But I do want to say, there's a white guy named Alex Jones who does, he has said that Newtown is a conspiracy. He said that the Boston bombing was a conspiracy. I know, but there is a group. Oh, he's beyond questionable. I'm just saying that there are non-black conspiracy theorists that are, like, pumping conspiracy theories hardcore about every tragedy.
Some of it is attention seeking too. I mean, people are looking for entertainment. They're trying to entertain themselves. Well, they're trying to find things to talk about. And that's, you have to be really careful with that.
And the sad thing is that next month we'll be talking about something else.
Exactly.
Next week. It's literally that fast now.
Right.
My problem with the media is, though, you have, what, 4 or 5 major networks as far as news now. You have this latest incident right here. They'll all have different points. I mean, completely different points of how they disperse the information, and they're completely different. That's the problem I have with it.
I think they're more.
No, I'm saying, but no, listen, if you watch Fox News versus CNBC or something like that, and then go to another one, actually, CNN is closer to Fox News now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, it's a telecommunication.
Yeah, no, like I'm saying, but I'm saying we're literally you can watch the same topic.
Right.
It could be totally different as far as the information they give about that topic, and that's scary to me. Because you would have to have data. I mean, like, you have facts. Like you said, you're about to fact check and then put it out to the world.
Exactly.
So if you turn to CBS, NBC, ABC, you should be the same exact coverage.
Well, now they got totally put it to the slant of their audience.
True.
You know what I'm saying? They got the, you got your liberal station.
And unbiased, excuse me.
Who do you work for? Who do you work for?
The sad part is, like, you know, when do we actually get to the real important matter in terms of, like, public safety? And what is the government's interest in keeping the citizens safe? You know, we do a lot of talking about that on social media, but what, you know, what is going to be done? It's an election year, so.
Exactly.
Right. And the conversation.
Seriously, like, there are people with guns walking into buildings and shooting. Like, that to me
They're trying to arm all of us.
Well, it's,
we're
it's,
not
it's,
trying to take.
It's right.
We don't want our guns taken away from us, but if you want to give us more guns,
we're about
it's
that.
It's not what kind of gun. You know what I'm saying? What do you need
that
with
too.
An AK? What do you
right.
need with
a machine gun?
What do you need with those?
It's a thing because I do. I had a chance, like, a few years ago, my last job, I had a moment where I got to go to a gun range. The last time, I've been a couple times, and one of my coworkers, he had an AR-15. And having that just, you know, in the gun range, free, just shooting, you can get very addicted to that shit. Because you will go through it, and you're like, oh, shit, I just went through the cold clip. And you're like, where the next one at? And it's cool. And you're kind of like, do I want to not have the option to have this kind of gun? People like having that option, and once it's out there, you know, this country does not like change. So having to, okay, now I've had this the ability to have some of the weapons, now you want to take all that away from me? No.
Dude, but like
I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna fight tooth and nail to keep that, even if
the most advanced toy. There's right. a reason why you can't have home nuclear weapons.
Right, but you, but you seem to...
Because of the mass destruction. Yeah.
But,
and a semi-automatic weapon is actually more dangerous than an automatic rifle.
Right. Yep.
Because of its of precision.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's like, yeah, what, we get something emotionally from having it. And honestly, I vacillate. One week I'm just like, you know what? Every black person needs to go out and buy. And I kid you not. And then next week I'm like, white people would not respond well to that, and we would be like, the revolution would be at our
feet. You've had door. Signs
I don't
already.
Think so.
Well, you've had signs already, just with the Panthers, and you had signs with Obama.
Let every black person be like, let it be like a wave, and be, every black person go out.
Are you talking about legally, like legally having guns?
Yes,
that means nothing. Because people have guns out here in these streets that they evenly.
Know, but, I'm but, saying but they the would go get some more guns. They would be like, oh shit, they're arming themselves.
Yeah. They already know Obama though.
Right.
They
had, exactly.
They had the highest surges since he's been in office. Yeah. Been office.
Like immediately when he got in.
Right.
No, listen, it went.
Right, but that was them, right?
But it's like when you had with the Panthers. That's when the Panthers started arming, it was like, oh, let's change the rules now.
Right.
And now you got guns, we don't like that.
I was very happy when he came into office.
I mean, look at this shit. You got a black dude in Walmart just looking at a gun, and he gets shot. A
toy gun.
Right,
not even a real gun.
Well, that was, I mean, that was a terrible setup, though. The guy that actually called the thing, and, like, he knew it was a toy gun. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even stop him to ask him. They went, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They shot him on sight. They didn't even get a chance to even, like, tell him to put the gun down.
Well, that's a whole different topic.
It made me angry. Like, yo, like, we're not ready for that.
I don't have any positive words. I don't have any words.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I actually thought about it, and I told Kim, because right now a lot of the issues in this country that people are fighting for are queer issues. I wondered, is this shooting, would this be related to, I mean, it's not the same because they try to compare, but like the bombing of the church with the four girls in it. It has that kind of feel to me where at that time we had the civil rights movement, and then all of a sudden some crazy like word, like somebody went and did this shit.
Can I tell you something? I thought about you making that point. What was that, last night or today?
I think last night.
This country is so unsympathetic to the queer community, because you got half the people in the world believing that being gay is a choice. And so because of that, they put the blame on the victims in regard to that. Well, if you didn't choose to be that way, then you wouldn't have been in the club that night, and then this wouldn't have happened to you. I've actually seen bullshit like that come across my timeline. It blows my mind.
I've heard people say it across the table from me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, so to me, when the bombing happened to the four little girls, it's very hard, I think, for people to reckon with any sort of danger coming to children, because you know they've done nothing to ask for that. They're completely innocent.
In a church.
But you're talking about grown folks in a club. For all the people out there who truly believe that gay people choose to be gay, like, there's such a lack of sympathy and compassion in this situation. I don't think it's going to be the turning point we would hope it could be. And on top of that, you also have a group of folks who feel as if it's the same group. The same people who think that gay people choose to be gay are also the people who feel like the queer agenda is being pushed and forced on everybody right now. True. The whole topic of gay marriage, the whole issue of transgenderism and Caitlyn Jenner and all that stuff. And so they have no sympathy about this situation at all.
Can I jump in on that?
Please.
Because everybody's eyes just turned right over here. Oh my God. So let me just say this first. I don't care about what people's preference is, born or whatever, even if they're people or experiment. I don't care. Right. I just think everybody should be happy. But I do feel like that there is a push for that type of agenda. I do. I see it every day in almost everything. Why do we have to care? Like, I don't walk around saying I'm heterosexual. It doesn't matter, because when I see someone, I see someone. I don't see a gay person or a straight person. I see a person. Mm-hmm. And so I get a little bit irritated because people relate that to, you know, the black thing. And when you see a black person, you see a black person. You're all going to be black. You're always going to be black. I'm saying you. I'm black too. But I'm just saying. So it just does, you know, somebody who does not have a concern at all about who's gay, who's not, I don't care. You know, I've grown out of that. I don't care. But what I do care about is when the issue is pushed constantly in your face. Like, if there's a gay person on a television show, so what? Who cares? Are they a good actor? That's what should matter.
Well, I think the difficulty is that there have been so many people who have been tormented by having to hide their identity and have been mistreated by their family members or their neighbors or their colleagues. And so, kind of like you're saying, I think that if anything, if you had a look at some positive result of a situation like this, is I do feel that sometimes people do need to stand up. You know, and situations give them the courage to do so. I, just being a therapist, I have done a lot of work with gay males, for example, and I have worked with clients who have been miserable, they have been afraid, they have been clinically depressed because they have not settled with their identity, regardless of whether it's a choice or not, because I personally believe that sometimes it is a choice. Mm. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it is. Mm-hmm. Regardless, though, people should, as you said, be able to be free to be who they are, what makes them feel whole. And society does not make that easy. And so this kind of situation helps people to unify and say, you know what, like, we're not going to be pushed around. And that's the thing that when people don't like that it's equated with the civil rights movement, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But the similarity is that there is sometimes a need for people to not allow themselves to be marginalized and mistreated because of their identity.
You know? Yeah, and I think that it's a privileged place to not have to think about it. Like, mm-hmm. we don't have to think about who we date or being out in public with them or whether our families will speak to us again.
But I do have to think about, is this cop going to kill me?
That's not the same thing.
You already said it's a different, it's very straight privilege.
But and the fact how does it feel when white people could care less? You know what I mean? Like, we want white people to acknowledge our experience and that we do have a different experience with police. But a straight person shouldn't have to acknowledge that a gay person has a different experience. Like, I feel like, why not? Like, They have that's something that affects every minute of their life.
When a black person reads something from a white novelist, or when we see stories told by ourselves, like if a black actress reads a script as a woman one, she can tell if a man wrote it. She's like, women don't really aren't, this is not how I'm represented. And she can tell if a white person or if someone who doesn't know the culture wrote. So like, gays exist. They have an identity too. And so when they pick up stories, they kind of want to see themselves. And so they can tell, be like, oh, this is like a stereotypical gay character. Like, this really has nothing to do with me. Right. And they'll be like, this. And they'll be like, but you know what? Fuck it. I don't care if it's, you know,
I Spy, and it's written by a white man. I'm so happy to see, or a straight guy. I'm so happy to see a gay person on TV. Finally, I get some type of representation. And our privilege, straight privilege, sees it as an affront. Like, why do we have to be reminded about? Why do we have to be reminded about the colors, about the blacks and their situation?
Right.
And so, I think a lot of it is just straight privilege, just not having to be confronted with sexuality. And from a moral or a spiritual standpoint, if you believe, I really do laud people who like, yo, I believe homosexuality is sin. But guess what? I believe I live in a country where everybody has the freedom of religion, and what I think is sin doesn't fucking matter. So they have the freedom to do what they want. And Alicia will tell you this. I've been waiting for a prominent preacher to come out and take that stance.
Right. I kind of found that one.
There
was one that I
did. Although he supposedly walked back a lot of his comments.
I've been waiting for somebody. But from a spiritual standpoint,
that flock. Like laughing, like,
all church. From a spiritual standpoint, I feel as if you can't have your faith in the face of the other, like if you need everything to be pristine or everyone to believe like you, then you don't have real faith. Like you have to confront liars and confront other type of sins all the time, day after day, and you really kind of know who you are in face of that. So being confronted with the agenda, I will say though too, I agreed with you in this sense. I wondered, and this is just my brain strain, and God forgive me, when I heard that they called it the deadliest massacre in U.S. history, I wonder, I was like, is that a gay agenda? Like, I was like, was that, like, was that a gay producer who just wanted to feel like a curry a lot of sympathy for this and just wrote this really, like, really titillating headline without thinking deeply about it? But to defend people who talk about, I know that is, but to defend people who talk about that being, that headline being a conspiracy, there are different degrees. Like, maybe this is the biggest massacre by a single shooter, because we know that in Oklahoma, there was basically like a mass type.
Oh, yeah.
Not lynching. The lynching was involved. But there was a mass. The entire community was involved.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Someone, like, I think you were telling me Amy Goodman said that there was a Native American.
They characterized it on Democracy Now!, which is a news source that I do trust, as the largest shooting in modern era. That's how they characterize it.
I was going to say, because Nat Turner would disagree. Sure. That makes sense.
They were the Native Americans too.
I assume that was what she was
talking modern
saying. Yeah, that, you know, obviously we know Native Americans have been slaughtered. Days. But
correction,
you know, I don't know. I'm very sympathetic, but I know that I tend to be that way towards, because I feel like as a straight person, as someone who is a minority in almost every other category, and I've said this before, I feel a greater responsibility to speak up for gay people, because a voice that is not in the oppressed group is heard more than the group themselves, just like I like when white people speak up, because it's heard.
Right.
And so I think straight people should speak up for gay people. They speak up for themselves, you know, obviously black people, we try to speak up for ourselves. But I think we appreciate when other groups join the cause. And so I try to speak up for them as much as I can, because I'm like, it's the one area that I am in the majority. So
speak up for the Klan?
Yeah. You know?
I'm just asking, because, you know, I'm just asking.
The Klan, like the Ku Klux Klan? In what way?
Like, I'm about to get in trouble again, but I would rather them tell me what they like and like, so I can know.
I'm on the same page.
You are there?
That. Yeah. I love
freedom of speech is for everybody, not just me. So even with,
I don't know what that has to do with what I said.
It's there.
Can we clarify? I'm confused.
Clarify. She said that she likes when people speak up, right?
Okay, and then you said.
And I said, what about the Klan? Because the Klan is out there.
Would you fight for the rights Klan to rally in front of
To
rally in front of the death of four little girls?
Well, I have always said that I am for freedom of speech in an ACLU type of way. Like, everybody has the right, because it's not up to me to determine who should be able to speak and who shouldn't.
Gotcha.
But when I say speak up, I mean like take up for the cause, not like I'm not going to take up for the cause for the Ku Klux Klan. I'm just saying, because I am not a lesbian that I feel like there's an area that I can speak as a straight person that I can be heard in a way that a lesbian couldn't, speaking for herself is all that I mean.
Gotcha.
And the Klan, the members are not a part of a marginalized group.
Right.
They might be. They might be today.
They are not. They are not.
They would agree with you. They'd be like, this brother is Bixby, we're like this.
They think they are.
No, that would not be me going to that.
Yeah, they do. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again. Thank you.